Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist, 18th of April 2020. Australia keeps a lid on the coronavirus COVID-19 for now, it says. And it just sort of makes me sick. Alice Klein. Early signs suggest Australia is beating the coronavirus, with the rate of new infections slowing for more than 2 weeks. But will the trend continue? The number of new confirmed COVID cases per day has been dropping from 440 on the 28th of March to 44 on the 13th of April. As of the 14th of April, there have been just more than 6,300 confirmed cases and 61 people dying of coronavirus. And so far, 35 on ventilators. The country's chief medical officer, Brendan Murphy, said at the press conference on the 7th of April that the situation is better than the best-case scenario predicted by the government modelling in January. However, he said, it could call calm undone if Australians flout the rules put in place in the virus. Australia's pandemic response has centred on shutting borders, limiting public gatherings, conducting large-scale testing and contact tracing. Travelling overseas is banned, foreigners aren't allowed to enter the country, and Australians who return from other countries have kept mandatory quarantine at specially designed, designated hotels for 2 weeks. Social gatherings of more than two people are forbidden, and leaving the house is permitted only for essential reasons like buying food and exercising. Australians have tested more than 360,000 people with COVID-19. When someone is tested positive, their close contacts are tracked down and ordered to self-isolate for 2 weeks. The main reason for Australia's success is probably its strict travel restrictions, says Adam Cramrat Scott at the University of Sydney. About 70% of Australians who have tested positive from COVID picked it up while overseas, he says. And being an island nation, it's made it easy to shut the borders. Social distancing, testing, contact tracing have added to the success, as Cameron Scott. Cultural factors may also have limited the virus spread, like the fact that most Australians choose to live in separate dwellings rather than in apartments. Unlike other countries, Australia has kept schools open, but these don't appear to have spread the virus, says Catherine Snow, the University of Melbourne. Despite these successes, Australia is also committed some major blunted. For example, 2,700 passengers were allowed to disembark the Ruby Princess ship on the 19th of March, even though they were showing COVID-19 symptoms. More than 600 cases have now been linked to the ship. Some Australians have ignored social distancing recommendations and crammed into beaches and parks. The government says looking at the ways to ease restrictions won't make any decisions until it sees how coming weeks pan out. One option under consideration is lifting restrictions in individual states or territories on a trial basis before applying the changes nationally. At the moment, about 10% of Australians who have caught the virus don't know they've got it, which is a sign of community spread. Although there's a small portion, it could easily spiral out of control. If restrictions are lifted too early, people are allowed to mix freely, Hassan Wali at La Trobe University in Melbourne. We can't relax yet. Concerned coronavirus may trigger post-viral fatigue syndromes. Could the coronavirus sweeping around the world have a second wave of illness in its way? We may expect to see the outbreak of post-viral fatigue syndrome in some people who have had COVID-19, according to some researchers. Viral infections have previously been linked with the problems of long-term fatigue symptoms. For example, chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS, which is called myalgic encephalitis, ME, sometimes occurs after viral infections. People who have CF experience extreme fatigue and a range of other symptoms, such as pain and sensitivity to light. Both conditions are poorly understood, so it is possible that the coronavirus could trigger similar fatigue syndromes. There are hints from the related SARS virus that this may happen. After the SARS virus of 2002-2003, some people in Toronto, Canada, who were infected were recorded as experiencing fatigue, muscle weakness and sleep problems for up to 3 years later. During the Toronto SARS outbreak, 237 people were diagnosed with the infection, of whom 44 died. After the outbreak had ended, Harvard Molofsky, at the time a psychiatrist and deep sleep specialist at the University of Toronto, was asked to study 22 of those who had been infected and how they'd gone to and now had ongoing health problems. stop them going back to work. Modvosky team published the work in 2011. The researchers found that participants generally had disturbed sleep, daytime fatigue, pain, weakness in muscles all over their body. These symptoms were very reminiscent of CFME, said Modvosky. His team only studied around 8% of those diagnosed with SARS in Toronto, so we don't know what proportion of the people who had SARS experienced these symptoms afterwards, nor is it known how long such symptoms lasted. While the current COVID-19 pandemic has caused a different virus, it's a member of the same coronavirus family, so it might also cause post-viral fatigue. And that's what I'm worried about. Other viruses are known as triggers to CFS infection, which is the Epstein-Barr virus, says Simon Wesley, former president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. We don't know about corona, but I think it will lead to many, many cases of post-infected fatigue syndrome. There is a long history of infections as a trigger of other factors contributing to longer-term disability, says Wesley. If the virus is found to enter the brain, this might increase the risk. It is quite likely that some people will be developing post-viral fatigue syndrome, which may then lead to ME/CF-like illness, says Charles Shepherd, a medical advisor of the ME Association, a UK patient charity. Quote, what happens to people after the acute infection is clearly something that needs to be researched, end quote. It may also be a long time before we know more, as people need to have symptoms for at least 6 months before being diagnosed with CF or ME, says Mark Cuthridge of Deakin University in Melbourne, Australia, who has ME himself, says Claire Wilson. Analysis. Is wearing a face mask a good idea? Official advice on the mask. General public is mixed, and there's concern about taking vital supplies away from healthcare workers, report Jessica Hamizu. As the case of COVID-19 continues to rise in many places, some people are choosing to wear face masks when out in public, but do they work? Guidance on face masks varies among international health bodies and governments. The World Health Organization currently only recommends a face mask for people who are coughing and sneezing and caring for people who may have COVID-19. With some places like Lombardy, the worst-hit region in Italy, face masks are mandatory. The UK government doesn't advocate their widespread use, while the 3rd of April, the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended people wear cloth face coverings when going out. The body even gives advice on how to make one. Part of the reason for recommending homemade face masks reserve limited supplies of face masks for healthcare workers, some of whom have, in some places, had to resort to making masks from bin bags, snorkels, and office supplies. Others have also been using cloth face coverings, but these aren't up to the job, says Rena McKenna, University of New South Wales, Sydney. In 2015, McIntyre and her colleagues ran a clinical trial pitting cloth masks against medical ones. The team provided 1,607 healthcare workers in 14 hospitals in Hanoi, Vietnam, with either disposable medical masks or reusable cloth ones, which could be washed at home at the end of the day. Those with cloth masks were significantly more likely to catch a virus, the team found. But what about the rest of us? Paul Hunter of the University of East Anglia, UK, and his colleagues have looked at 31 published studies on the efficacy of masks. Overall, the evidence suggests that face coverings may offer a small benefit. They do seem to prevent sick people from spreading the virus, but the evidence is weak and inconsistent, says Hunter. Our view is that there is some evidence to a degree of protection, but it wasn't great. So we still don't effectively know if face masks work in the community. Hunter thinks there is enough evidence to support mask wearing for some frontline staff, such as those working in public transport or supermarkets, as well as vulnerable people who temporarily enter high-risk environments like hospitals, provided their use doesn't deprive healthcare workers of the equipment. McIntyre agrees and says that shortages being homemade masks are worth using outside healthcare settings. If you're going to make your own mask, there are some important points to remember, she says. And an effective face mask fits well around the nose, mouth and chin, providing a seal that doesn't let air in. It must also filter out particles that would contain the virus. Vacuum cleaner bags seem to be particularly good at this, according to the 2013 study, which compared various household materials based on their abilities to filter bacterial and viral aerosols. Tea towels were reasonably effective, but linen and silk performed poorly. If you do wear a mask, if it's important to use it properly, it is easy to contaminate your own mask by touching or reusing it, for example. And don't let wearing a face mask give you a false sense of security. You can still become infected while wearing one, and washing your hands frequently is vital when you wear a mask or not. Even if you want to follow the advice, it isn't clear whether the widespread use of face masks will lead to a significant impact on the spread of virus. The users is still trying to understand whether they work. There's just not a lot of evidence for cloth masks in the community, says McIntyre. There you go.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.